Romans 12:2
says, "Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will." And I'd like to preach for a while this morning from the subject, "Be a vessel for God's plan." Father, we thank you for this time together this morning. Lord, I pray that you would guide me and direct me to say what it is that you want to communicate, and Lord, that you give us open hearts and ears to hear it, in Jesus' name, amen. Last Sunday, on the way home, after I had talked about how everything is spiritual, you know, it's happening in the spiritual realm before it takes place in the physical realm. We have God's spiritual plan, and we have Satan's spiritual plan trying to disrupt what God wants to do. And we were on our way home, and Judy said to me that she had an alternative ending, I guess, to my closing. And she said that it made her think of Romans 12, too, is that if this is true, that these things are happening in the spiritual realm, then it is our responsibility to do as it says in Romans 12, 2, to renew our minds so that we can know what God's will is. If God's will is being carried out in advance in the spiritual realm, then it would be up to us and it'd be good for us to know what that was, right? And to then be able to carry it out. So we looked at this, how important this was last week. We talked about, you know, Adam and Eve. God had one plan. Satan had another plan. Then it's up to them to choose to do what it is, hopefully, what God wanted. How Moses, you know, Joseph and his brothers, and they played into this. God had a plan. Satan had a plan. King Herod, the Magi, Joseph and Mary. You know, all these things are happening in the spiritual realm, but there's two sides. It's not a predestined thing. God has his spiritual plan. Satan has his. We need to be able to make the right decision. So we need to know what God's will is. We need to know what God's plan is and carry it out. Because it says that when we renew our minds, when we're transformed in that way, then we can test and approve what God's will is. Wouldn't it be wonderful? I mean, I can't imagine anybody, even non-Christians, if they knew exactly what God wanted done, that they wouldn't be thrilled. It's like, oh, I know what God wants. I'll do that, right? I can't imagine anybody wouldn't. So today what I want to do is I want to take that thought that Judy had, and I told her, I said, look, if I preach this and it's not the way you would have preached it, then you're on for next week, and you can preach it the way you want to preach it. But this is what I'm going to do. So you want her to preach because she's good. If she goes 10 minutes max, and she's done. So, but then I'll come up and expound on it for a half an hour. So anyway, so today we're going to look at finding God's will and then being used as a vessel to carry that will out and just carrying out his will. So find God's will, be a vessel, carry it out. Those are the three things I want to look at. Now, I just want to tell you, warn you, this is a challenging message because all of these things, God wants to do them, but it's contingent on us doing our part. If in all these things, if we don't do our part, then none of these things that the Bible communicates to us are going to come to pass. I mean, that's just a message of the reality of being a mature Christian. So, and that's very much today's message. So we have to do our part. These are the things that we do in order to know God's will, to be his vessel, and then to carry it out. How do we do that? So let's start where I opened with Romans 12, 2, saying, "Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. So while we live in a physical world, and we have been given 5 physical senses to help us understand that physical world around us, we are built, designed by God, to take sensory input from the physical world around us. And yet, we are told not to be conformed to the pattern of this world, but instead be transformed by our mind. Now, we have 5 senses, right? Let me see, like feeling, smelling, hearing, seeing, and tasting. You know what one of those is not? Thinking. Your mind is not one of the 5 senses. It takes the data in that comes from the other senses. But when it says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So I have my five senses that God has given me to interact with this world, to take the stimulus from this world, and yet I then have to take what's coming in and have my mind be transformed so that it understands it correctly. Now, this may be a two-part sermon. I have no idea where this is. I had a realization in doing this that it's like, how can I understand this? How can I put this in and give an example? The world, the physical world around us is telling us one thing, and oftentimes what's going on in the spiritual realm is very different. So how do I do that? How do I know that when my five senses are telling me one thing, but the spiritual is different? Here's the way that came to me. Now, I don't know if this is me or if this is the Holy Spirit. You decide. I thought, the government is a great example. What are the 12 scariest words in the English language? Do you know? I'm from the government and I'm here to help you. The 12 most frightening words in the English language. They say that. What I know, what they really mean is I'm here to be a tyrannical over your life. They use the word help. I know they mean tyranny. We're going to control you. They use terms like gender-affirming care. Doesn't that sound wonderful? That means we want to tell your little boy he's actually a girl, and we want to give him drugs and surgery. That's not gender. It's all this misspeak. You need to learn to interpret. If you can learn to interpret, such as women's reproductive rights, sounds great, right? Translation, we want to kill as many babies as we possibly can and sell their body parts for profit. Do you get what I'm saying? You have to learn to hear what's being said, what is going on in this world around us, and to understand it from the spiritual sense. Satan is a liar. That's what the Bible says. He is the father of lies, and lying is his native language. That's the language he speaks, is to lie. It's like, do you know anybody else that's a liar and lying is their native tongue? How about what I just said? Women's reproductive rights. We want to kill as many babies as possible. You have to learn to hear that to hear the lie and know what's really meant by it. To be spiritually, we do that by transforming our minds. My transformed mind. Now, how do I stand up here and say this? You might think I sound really harsh and, I don't know, mean, critical, judgmental. But because I'm in the process, never ending, I'm in the process of having my mind transformed by God's word, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Well, how do I renew my mind? I put God's word into it. Rather than the world being put into it, I put God's word into it. So I know when they come and tell me that they want to do women's reproductive rights, I know that what they're doing, because I know the word of God, my mind is transformed. I know, what they're saying is that they want to end pregnancies. They want to kill babies. Now, there was a time before my mind was transformed, I thought, reproductive rights, that sounds great. Women's health care, that sounds great. Who's not for that? Gender-affirming care, that sounds wonderful. But once your mind is transformed, you realize what they're really saying. Am I communicating here? Am I making any sense, or am I missing the mark? Because the challenge is be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. But we live in this world. Our five senses are giving us one set of information. We have to know how to interpret it. It's not that the data that's coming into my mind is wrong. It's that I need to know how to process it. And I process it through God's word that I put into my mind. And I know that it's wrong to kill life. And yes, babies in the womb are lives. They are human lives. They were created by humans, right? It's not broccoli that's in there, right? Two humans conceived it. So we know it's human. It's alive because the cells are multiplying and dividing, that by definition, second grade science, that's life, right? And we know that it's unique because it has its own DNA from the very first cell that will exist in it for its entire life. If it lives to be, that person lives to be 100 years old. That is unique human life by very definition. And I know that the Bible tells me it's wrong to kill it. So you can put any fancy name on it you want. But because I have a transformed mind, I know that that's evil. No matter how pretty the name is that you give it. So that's our challenge, to know God's will. I know God's will by transforming my mind with God's truth. Then, I love that. It's not my favorite passage of scripture, but it might be my second favorite passage. Romans 5:8 is my favorite passage. This might be my second favorite because I want to know what God's will is. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind, then you'll be able to know God's will, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. So how do we go about doing all this? Romans 2:28-29. A man is not a Jew if he is only one outwardly, nor is circumcision merely outward and physical. No, a man is a Jew if he is one inwardly, and circumcision is circumcision of the heart by the Spirit, not by the written code. Such a man's praise is not from men, but from God. Circumcision means to cut away. That's, if you go to the Hebrew, that's what it's talking about when it's talking about circumcision. Of course, we know in that case, literally it's cutting away the foreskin. But the purpose of true faith, true Christianity, to be a true Jew, and here's the thing. People always, debate about this. I believe the Bible says, if you're sitting here today and you're born again, if you're a born again Christian, you're a Jew. According to Paul in the book of Romans, we're Jewish by adoption. Okay? We're not born into the family, but we were adopted into the family through Jesus Christ. So we are a Jew how? Not by physical circumcision, the physical cutting away of the foreskin. We are Jews according to circumcision of the heart. Cutting away the things of our heart that are not pleasing to God. The way we think, the way we feel, the way we understand, our own personal motivations and desires that may lead us away from God and separate us from God, we cut those away. Not physical, it's a spiritual, it's a growing, it's a maturity. We remove from our minds or our soul, that's the seat of our mind, and our spirit, those things in our lives that would separate us from God or cause us to be disobedient to God. I can't stop doing them physically in the physical realm until I circumcise my heart, because my heart says, it bothers me to go out and physically be disobedient. If I were to go do something that was displeasing to God, I would be pained in my heart because I know that it was wrong in God's sight. So when I circumcise my heart so that it wants to be obedient to God, I won't go out and do things that would be harmful to our relationship or harmful to myself. Again, I want feedback. I want to know you're understanding what I'm saying. If I'm going to be transformed by the renewing of my mind to become Christ-like and to become what God wants me to be, I need to have this circumcision of my heart. I'm not a Jew if I'm only one outwardly. In other words, just the physical cutting off is not enough. We have to have a spiritual and mental soul cutting off, to cut off those things in our lives that would separate us from God. We go on to Hebrews 4:12. For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to the dividing and soul of spirit, joint and marrow. It judges the thoughts and the attitudes of the heart. So how do I circumcise my heart? What does it say? The word of God is what? Sharper than any double-edged sword. And what does it do? It penetrates. It divides. It cuts, if you will. It divides spirit and soul, joint and marrow. It shows me, if the word of God is how I renew my mind, be transformed by the renewing of your mind, right? Put God's word into it so I think like God thinks. And circumcision is circumcision of my heart. And the word of God is a sword that cuts away what? Spirit and soul, joint and marrow. Then it is by the word of God where I realize, oh, that thing that's in my heart, that thing that's in my own personal desires is not pleasing to God. God's word tells me that. I learn it by knowing God's word. I learn it by transforming my mind, by renewing it with God's word. Is this tying together? That's why I said this is not an easy teaching, because this puts a requirement on us to do what? Say it. Puts us a requirement to do what? You got to sit down and you have to read God's word. Study it. Put it inside of you. The only way this gets, there's a little bit getting inside of you right now. But you know how to get much more in it? Sit down yourself and read it. And you know my story. I've said it before. If that seems like something that's just unthinkable to you, just do it. Literally, set a timer. Just do it for 5 minutes. Just something. It's the principle to live by. In your spiritual life, it's the same principle I use in working out. Anything is better than nothing. Just do something. So, I love that description. The word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates us. What I see in this, when it talks about it penetrates us, divides us, spirit and soul and spirit, joint and marrow. It judges the thoughts and the attitudes of my hearts. When I read God's word and I have one thought in my mind, then I can compare it to what God says, and it can show me, is that a good thought, a good proper understanding, a godly understanding, or is that your failed, flawed, sinful understanding? And then when I realize, oh, that's my failed, flawed understanding, I can cut it away. I can have it circumcised out of my life. And when I have it circumcised out of my life, you know what I can more likely have happen? I can discern God's will. I warned you, this is not an easy teaching. This takes effort on our part. Concerted, specific effort to do these things. But the beauty of it is, when you do it, I promise you, it works. And you'll get so excited about it, you'll want more of it. And 5 minutes of Bible reading and study and understanding and prayer will turn into 10 minutes. And so on and so forth. And the more you... we're transformed, the more we see God at work, the more of it we want. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. All scripture is God-breathed and is used for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped to do every good work. So here we are. We have the discerning God's will part. You'd be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And then when we do that, we use God's word to go through this process, to renew ourselves, to cut away when we see things that are not of God. But it all leads us what? God's word is useful for doing these things. It teaches us, it rebukes us, it corrects us, it trains us so that we can what? Do good work. Do God work. So we need to be transformed, and then we need to become able to do God's work. We're then vessels, and we'll get into that in a minute. So God's word. This is the most reliable way that you can know God's will. I mean, you pray and the Holy Spirit may put an idea into your heart, into your head. You get this, you might think, well, God's trying to communicate this to me, but that comes through the filter, you know. This, all you have to do is open it up and read it. This is the most obvious way. God's word is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that we're equipped to do good work, or God's work. Colossians 3:10 says, and have put on a new self. How do we put on a new self? What does it say? Which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of the Creator. Where does my knowledge from the image of the Creator come? How do I put on a new self? You You understand what's happening right now, right? I've made the same point now about four or five different ways, right? Because all of this leads back to putting God's word into our lives. If I want to become new, and therefore I can know God's will, I have to start by putting God's word into my life. Cutting away the things that are there that shouldn't be there. Being transformed by the renewing of his word. Knowing his will. Being trained by his word. And all of that leads to what? I become a new person. If I cut away the old and I let God in to have his way instead, I become somebody I was not before. Amen? And it comes from the knowledge of the image of the Creator. Knowledge is where? I transform my mind. That's why I said this is a hard teaching, because it depends on you doing the work. But you'll never have a better payoff. That's what I can promise. So in order to be able to discern God's will, the Holy Spirit is a must. So we have God's word, but the Holy Spirit also is important. Colossians 1, 9 through 10, it says, "For this reason, since the day you heard about we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you and asking God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through the spiritual wisdom and understanding. We pray this in order that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and may please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God." It says, though, that we are, in verse 9, God will fill us with the knowledge of his will through all, what? Spiritual wisdom and understanding. So when we read God's word, yes, we can read it and we can take it in. But hopefully what we really need to take the next level of growth and depth, if you will, is to spiritually understand it. Not just to understand it in just the literal word ink on a page, but to understand the spiritual implication that it has for our lives. And because we are supposed to bear good fruit. We're supposed to do, you know, the bear fruit. If we don't bear fruit, I mean, we're not a tree, you know, a fruit tree that doesn't bear fruit isn't much good, right? It ends up becoming firewood, possibly. So the Spirit is possible. The only way we can live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way, as it says, bearing to this good fruit, growing in knowledge, is if we grow in spiritual wisdom. That's what we're supposed to bear fruit, but it says we can't do it unless we grow in spiritual wisdom. So the Holy Spirit is critically important in this. So the question is, do I want to leave some out, or do I want to turn this into two parts? Maybe we'll just do the discerning God's will part today and do the other two parts next week. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 2, 9 and 10. Because until you know God's will, you can't do what God wants you to do, right? And all of us, I believe, in here would be happy to do what God wants us to do if we knew what God wanted us to do, right? I hope so. 1 Corinthians 2, 9 and 10. "However, as it is written, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love him." So he's prepared it. This goes back to last week. It's happening. God has a plan. He knows what he wants to happen in the spiritual realm, right? He's prepared it. But what? Our five senses cannot discern that. Our five senses cannot tell us what God is doing in the spiritual realm. "However, it is written, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed it to us by his Spirit, the Spirit that searches all things, even the deep things of God." If I want to know what God's doing in the Spirit, the best way I can know, one, I got to get my mind prepared so that I can hear it and receive it. And then I need to perceive it in the Spirit, because it's happening in the Spirit. This passage tells us that we cannot know what God is doing, what he's planning in the spiritual realm, unless we are operating in the Holy Spirit, unless we're able to hear and discern by the Holy Spirit. It is Holy Spirit that searches the deep things of God. If you could know, sitting here today, if you could know the deep things of God, would you say, I'm in, I want to know? Again, I think most people would say yes. And it says what? It is the Spirit that searches these deep things. So if it's the Spirit that searches these deep things, we're going to have to be open to the idea of the Holy Spirit being active in our lives. Again, I know I say this all the time, but there are people that struggle with the idea of the Holy Spirit. But if you really want to know what God's up to, if you really want to know the deep things of God, you're going to have to be open to the idea that the Holy Spirit is active in our lives. These things are revealed to us by His Spirit. Romans 8:5 says, those who live according to the sinful nature have their mindset on what the sinful nature desires. But those who live according with the Spirit have their mindset on what the Spirit desires. Then we go back to this cutting away. My heart and my mind are going to be set on the things that my sinful nature wants, unless I do what? Unless I circumcise them. Unless I cut those things away. But I'm transformed by the renewing of my mind, I circumcise my heart, I can do what? I can hear the voice of God. I can discern His will. Otherwise, I'm going to live according to the sinful nature. But once I get rid of that, once I go through that process of transformation and circumcision, now I can hear what the Spirit is up to. I can live according to the Spirit. I can set my mind on what the Spirit is doing. I can set my heart on what the Spirit is doing. But if my heart is still geared towards the flesh because I've not yet circumcised it, then my heart is going to pursue the sinful things, not the spiritual things. Those who live according to sinful nature have their mind set on what the nature desires. But those who live according to the Spirit have their mind set on what the Spirit desires. But if I have a fleshly mind and a fleshly heart because I'm not transformed and I'm not circumcised in my heart, then where's my mind going to go? Is it going to go to the physical, the natural, or the spiritual? It's going to go to the natural. It's going to go to the sinful, right? Not the spiritual, because I've not yet created to be spiritual minds and spiritual hearts. James 4:17, anyone who knows the good he ought to do but doesn't do it, sins. This is one of the most convicting passages of Scripture to me in the Bible. We always think about sin as being, if I do something I shouldn't do, right? But James says what? You can sin by not doing what you should do. Not simply doing something you shouldn't do, which is how we usually think of it, but by not doing something that we should do. What do you think is going to happen if God has a plan? He's doing things in the spiritual realm, like we talked about with Adam and Eve and Moses and Joseph and Herod and the Magi, and He's doing things in the spiritual realm. What do you think it's going to be like when we get to heaven? God has been doing things in the spiritual realm, and He goes, well, how come you didn't do this, and why didn't you do that, and why didn't you do that? And we'll go, well, I didn't know. I didn't know you were doing that. I didn't know that you wanted me to do that. And He'll say, well, why didn't you transform your mind by the renewing? Why didn't you transform your heart by the renewing of your mind? Then you'd be able to know, test and approve what my will was, my good, pleasing, and perfect will. Why didn't you circumcise your heart? Why didn't you pursue what the Holy Spirit wanted? We're all guilty of some degree of the sin of omission, not doing what we should have done because we didn't know what God was doing in the spiritual realm. Amen? We're all going to be guilty of that to some degree. I want to keep that as minimal as possible. I'm trying to fit all this together, tying it all together. Am I having any success in doing that? Is it making any sense? If it doesn't, I'll have to come back and preach it again next week. So you better tell me. The sin of omission. God is working in the Spirit. He is telling us how to know what He is doing in the Spirit. Transform ourselves, transform our minds, circumcise our hearts, operate in the Spirit, and so that we don't find ourselves guilty of the sin of omission. Mark 10:18. Why do you call me good? Jesus answered, no one is good except God alone. I tie that back to James 4:17, because it says anyone who knows the good they should be doing. The only one that's good and is doing good and knows is who? God. So the only way that we can do good is to know what God is up to. And yet we are called to produce good and produce good fruit. Yeah, I don't even want to start into the next part. So how do I want to close this? Well, I'll jump to this. Ephesians 2:10, for we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which He prepared in advance for us to do. I'm going to close with the same verse next week too, so you might as well write it down. Did you just hear what that just said? What did I just say? Who's the only? Jesus Himself said, don't call me good. There's only one that's good. Right? And that's God, the Father. He's the only one that's good. If we're going to do good works, we need to know the one who's good, what He's up to. Amen? We need to know what God's up to, because He has a plan, because He's doing all these things in the Spirit. We need to know what it is so that we can do it. And He says, what? Why am I created? Why are you created? We're created as God's workmanship to do what? To do good. And not only are we God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good, the good that we can do is what God is doing, and we know that it's what He's doing in the Spirit, because it says He's done what? He's prepared it in advance. That statement, God's prepared it in advance for us to do, means that He's already doing it in the Spirit, like we just talked about last week. I don't know, you guys need to drink more coffee next week, because this is exciting stuff, and you're not getting excited enough. That is a direct tie into last week, what God is preparing in the Spirit. You are God's workmanship to do good, prepared to do good works in Christ Jesus, which He prepared in advance, which He's doing in the Spirit in advance of it happening in this physical world. And we're prepared for that purpose. But the only way I can know that purpose is if I know God's will by transforming my mind, circumcising my heart, listening to the Holy Spirit, letting God's word teach me, so I can know what God wants to do. And then I don't want to be guilty of the sin of omission because I didn't do the good that God wanted me to do. Amen? So you preach the next, am I going a completely different direction than you would? So you got a different sermon? You got some more stuff for me? All right. So we need to be vessels to carry out God's plan, because God is planning in the spiritual realm. He knows what He wants to happen. He's preparing it in advance for us to do. Now it's up to us to be vessels to do it. Amen?